Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the letter to the Galatians. We thank you that we can gather today and all being well over the next few weeks looking at this letter and what you had to say to the churches in that area. Father, help us to hear your word clearly. Help us to reflect on our life as individuals and together as your people or as people on the outside who don't know Christ. Give us ears to hear the truth of your word, to respond rightly to it, that we might know the rescue from this evil age that only Christ brings, that we might hold out that one way to freedom that Christ won for us at the cross to all who need it. Amen. It really is a sobering warning to start this letter. Yeah, you read it, and if you've been at our services over the last few weeks, you'll have heard Ephesians chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1 or Philippians chapter 1, and now we're in Galatians chapter 1, and when we read it in staff meeting, Josh just shook his head. Josh, who was up here playing the bass a minute ago, it's just so different. Paul starts all his other letters with encouragements. We thank God for you. We praise God for, but not Galatians. Now, right through this letter, Paul will be very clear. There is only one way to freedom. And we live in a world that is desperately seeking freedom. This is a great letter to look at. Because of the generosity of a friend, I got to go to see the Hugh Jackman concert last night at Kudos Bank Arena, and he spent a lot of time talking through and telling his life story, and he's desperately searching and hungry for answers about life and spiritual things. He's striving to, as the world is, to free itself from the shackles of the struggles in this world. People all around us feel like, and we often feel like we're caught in the middle of swirling waters of change. And we're desperately trying to keep our head above water or make sense of what's going on or find some firm ground to stand on. And we've got Galatians to help us, to guide us, to call us back. In January, we're on holidays, we had a situation where a few of us got caught in a rip. Thankfully, it wasn't an out-to-sea rip. It was just down the beach rip, but we were getting ripped down good and fast. When we got to shore and were free from the pull of the sea, there was such relief. When you're able to actually take a breath and get your bearings and know that you're free from the risk and the danger and the threat that you're under, from the frightening fear and struggle that we'd been in. Now, at least one of us was free, but they were still shaking. They were shaking for quite a while afterwards. They were gasping for breath. They weren't really aware of the freedom that they now had. They were still so shaken. Another one of us who was caught in that same rip, they were just ready to plunge straight back into the waters, not aware of the danger. And amongst us, there were some that were ready to follow and others that were no way were they going anywhere near that water again. Now, friends, Galatians helps us orientate ourselves around life and what sets us free and what keeps us free and the dangers that surround us. And Paul, in the first two verses, lays the foundation of freedom, the foundation of the rescue of the world, the foundation of the rescue of the 40,000 people living in this area. And so verses 1 and 2, there's a clear appointment that he speaks of. Paul there introduces himself. You can see it in the first two verses of Galatians 1. He is an apostle sent not from men, nor by a man. He's an apostle sent by Jesus Christ and God the Father. God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. Paul was one of the select group of men appointed by Jesus as apostles to represent and speak for him. It's to speak of the freedom, to speak the freedom that Jesus had sent them to proclaim. Now, it's tricky, and we'll see some of this come up in the letter. Have you ever found yourself questioning or challenging or even rejecting some of the teachings of the Scripture or of Paul or one of the other apostles? We need to be careful. One of the issues in this letter of Galatians is that the churches in Galatia were in danger of turning from Paul's message. And in turning from his message, they dismiss the authority that he's been given by Christ. Now, as we read through this letter and other parts of the Bible and Paul's teaching, there's some challenging things, particularly to our culture, just as there's been in every age. The distinctions that are made between men and women are a big one. But if Paul has apostolic authority, if Paul has the direct commission of Jesus, we need to be very careful not to judge his words or dismiss his words based on our opinions. Jesus spoke to his disciples when he sent them out as messengers in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew 10 verse 40, saying, "Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me." So as we receive the word of the disciples and the apostles and for us of the scriptures, we're welcoming Christ. But with that, one of the implications of Paul's appointment as an apostle is to know that if you're a believer, you too have been divinely appointed. And not with the unique role of the apostle, but we are given work to do by God's appointment. As we'll see in a moment as we get on to verses 3 and 4, Paul's appointment was to see people rescued. We are appointed to that task as well. I want you to go back to the cinemas in the late 90s, to that James Cameron epic, Titanic. Imagine you're in one of those lifeboats as the ship goes down. What ought your task be? Rescue others. Now, are you the one pulling people out of the water? Maybe. Are you rowing the boat? Maybe. Are you drying off people and putting blankets around them? Are you comforting and reassuring people who've been rescued? Are you calling out to those who need saving? Are you looking to spot people that need saving? There's a whole lot of things that together we need to do to rescue others, isn't it? Imagine it if we were all just leaning over the side trying to pull people in. We're not going to get very far. But if you're a Christian, if you know the freedom in Christ of sins forgiven, then you're one of the people in the lifeboat appointed to rescue others. There is only one way to freedom. It's the lifeboat of Jesus raised from the dead, of sins paid for and forgiven. God has appointed us and given us a work to do. You know, knowing that freedom gives us perspective on life. It's the thing that helps us endure the hardships of this world, because we know this world is not our home. We know we're in the lifeboat being rescued. See, everyone in the Titanic in one of those lifeboats, were they rescued and home? Well, they were rescued, but they weren't home yet, were they? It wasn't until they got out of the Atlantic and then they'd get home. We're not home yet, we're in the lifeboat. And we've been appointed to rescue others by taking the message of Jesus to them. So point two, a clear rescue. The body of the Galatians letter starts in verse 3, grace and peace to you. They are two great little words summing up the rescue, the salvation won by God through Christ. What's the root of the rescue? It's grace. God's unconditional, unearned acceptance of us. God's unconditional, unearned acceptance of us accomplished through the loving, sacrificial death of Jesus. And the experience of grace that we receive by faith brings what? Peace. A restoration of relationships between us and the Father. The basis of restoration of relationships between us and one another. God has taken us aboard the lifeboat. And with us, He has set about rescuing more people. And so for us to get caught looking for grace, looking for peace from some other person, or in some organization or some activity in the world, is to forget that God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, they are the only source of those blessings. Now, I'm sure if you're still thinking about Titanic, Jack and Rose thought that door that they were holding on to was a blessing to them, keeping them alive as they're in the freezing waters of the Atlantic. But it wasn't a rescue, was it? Because they would still freeze and they would still drown and they would still die. The rescue message is verse 4. And it's all centered around Christ. There's no rescue mission we can embark on in the world. There's no campaign we can run more important than the clear rescue of Christ. Verse 4, Christ gave himself for our sins. The sacrificial self-giving work of Christ on the cross, that is the final answer to the problem of the world, to our individual moral failure and guilt. The sacrificial self-giving work of Christ on the cross. And so if you keep reading through Galatians, if you go home and today or through the week, read through Galatians, you'll see that victory over sin accomplished by Christ on the cross is a key theme through this letter. So you walk away going, there is only one way to freedom, through Christ at the cross. It's here right at the start of the letter. It's there in chapter 2, verses 20 to 21. It's there in chapter 3, verse 1, chapter 3, verse 13, chapter 4, verse 4, chapter 5, verse 1, chapter 5, verse 11, chapter 5, verse 24, chapter 6, verse 12, chapter 6, verse 14. The importance of Christ's victory at the cross as the only way which people can be saved. And in each of those verses, the Galatian churches are being rebuked because they've been changing the rescue mission. They've been going for substitute solutions instead of taking people to the place, bringing them to where they can be saved, the cross of Christ. And Paul states, why is that so important? Why is it so important that Jesus gave himself for our sins? Verse 4, to rescue us from this present evil age. So Jesus dies on the cross to rescue us from this age. We are trapped in our sins. We're cut off from God. We face all the brokenness and corruptness of this world. That is the present evil age. But he's there to rescue us and bring us into that lifeboat, to take us home. So all who turn and believe in Christ, all who put their trust in Jesus are rescued. They're scooped out of the water. Now, we know all too well that this world is full of destructive and evil forces. Not just the horrible big end of town stuff we see on the news. You know, all that little destructive stuff that you see in and around your life every day. There's nothing in this world that can free us from them. It is only the cross of Christ, God entering our world and bearing our sins, that anyone can be rescued. If you haven't turn to Christ and put your faith in him, Can I say that the majority of people here today, we're here today reaching out our hand, rowing the boat around, ready to put blankets around you and say, come aboard and be rescued and come and know the Lord Jesus. Talk to us afterwards. Talk to me afterwards and say, help me into the boat. Help me understand why Jesus is so important. God gave me three great blessings in the early 2000s or mid-2000s. They all happened to be girls who love girly things. So all these Marvel movies that have been out of recent and DC comic movies that have been, I haven't seen any of them. I've seen lots of chick flicks and romantic comedies. But you know the Marvel movies, even though I haven't seen any, I know what happens, right? An out of this world hero comes to rescue the people. An out of this world hero comes to rescue the people from a threat they can't defeat with their own worldly powers. That's the story of Christ and the cross. We've got this present evil age that we cannot overcome. And Christ enters our world to rescue us. And so believers can now enjoy and look forward to the fullness of the freedom of a new creation. We're no longer slaves and prisoners of the tyranny of this present evil age. This world is not our home. Galatians chapter 5 verse 1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's that we might go home to be with God forever. Having been set free, we need to rescue, we're in the position of rescuing others with the same freedom won by Christ at the cross. And Paul says this plan of Jesus dying at the cross, this one way of freedom was according to the will of our God and Father. See, the Father planned our rescue. At the right time, he sent his Son to accomplish our rescue. So that we're no longer slaves and trapped, but we've been set free and we are heirs. Solid ground is the promise for us. See, the accomplishment of the Father's plan in history is the expression of his grace, and it's the basis of our peace. It's why there in verse 4, Paul says, to him be glory forever and ever. It's something worth singing about. Because the Father determined to save us. It's a great thing. But before us Christians get too excited, we, as I keep saying, we're still in the lifeboat. We're not on terra firma yet. We're not in the new creation. Though it's ours, it's where we're going. Paul in verse 6, and why he's jumped straight in with no giving thanks or praise, is there's a problem in the Galatian churches. There is a clear and present danger. Disciples are deserting the gospel, verse 6. And Paul just whacks them with a stinging rebuke. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. What on earth are you doing? Is how I would say the question. He gives a bit more detail, so it's a bit more helpful. But what are you doing? You know, I keep coming back to that lifeboat at the Titanic. How unbelievable would it be for someone to be rescued out of the freezing waters than to go, oh no, I'm going to jump back in. Because my friends are there. Do you realize what you've been rescued from? And here are these Christians in Galatia turning their backs on God, turning to follow a different gospel, turning to follow a different way of being rescued, of being saved. Or even changing the task of what they've been appointed to do as those who've been rescued. And we'll get more of a sense of that in coming weeks. What's clear is they've shifted from the gospel being Christ-centered, of the way of salvation being centered on Christ and the cross. They're shifting people's attention away from this rescue and focusing attention back on themselves. The Galatians tragedy is a warning for us today. Not every quest for spirituality is in reality a quest for God. I hear a lot of people who seem on the surface to talk a big story about a great and mighty and powerful God. But it's fantasy land. Not that God is great and big and mighty and powerful. Please don't hear me saying anything against that. But the picture people paint and the expectations is not actually of who God is or what he promises to us. A lot of people who try to tell us that the lifeboat is terra firma. There are people, and there's always been people, perverting the gospel. And the words can be so enticing. The language can be so similar. It can sound so spiritual. But Paul is so harsh and he jumps on them so quickly. I mean, you could paraphrase the start of this letter. Hello, I'm Paul. You're the churches in Galatia. Jesus rescued us according to God's will by his death on the cross, and we've got a problem. And he gets into it so quick, I think at most churches, most people will have missed it because he's just ditched any of the nice songs singing How Awesome is God at the start of the service and gone straight into going, guys, we've got a massive problem. Half the people are still rolling up. I was the half the people not still rolling up today. Everyone else was here. Well done. But he's straight at it. People are turning away. People are perverting the gospel with what is no gospel at all. Can I say, this is great reassurance, actually. It's really quite simple, the gospel and being a Christian. God made the world, we've rejected God, we've turned our own way, we've sinned against God. We deserve punishment, we deserve death, we deserve to be apart from him forever. God sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross, to pay the penalty for our sin, so we can be reconciled to God. Are you going to jump on board? We're here to rescue you. There's our message. It's pretty simple and uncomplicated, isn't it? And God gathers his people together in the boat to rescue others. That's who we are. That's what we do. But we complicate it. We add things to it. We neglect things. Friends, anything that takes you away from the cross of Christ, beware. Anything that adds to the cross of Christ, watch out. Again, stick back in that lifeboat. I suspect no one really thought about jumping out of the lifeboat back into the waters. They hadn't denied that they'd been rescued, that this is the place of safety. They hadn't denied, the Galatians hadn't denied the deity of Christ, that he was God come in the flesh. They hadn't denied the cross of Christ, that Jesus died on the cross. They didn't deny that he'd been risen from the dead. They hadn't, as we read through it, you find they haven't really taken anything away from the gospel. They've just been adding to it. You've got to do this, you've got to think this, you've got to chase that. And Paul won't stand it. The gospel of verses 3 and 4, Christ died for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age. That is the gospel. And it can't be served alongside other gospels, like a Chinese buffet. Right? There is only Mongolian land, that's what matters, and all the rest of it, get rid of it, right? Honey prawn, whatever. There's one gospel, not a thousand things to choose from. There is only one way to freedom, and Paul bangs it home for six chapters in this book. It is the rescue of Christ accomplished at the cross according to the will of God the Father. Through it we receive grace and we know peace. Can I say, if you haven't received that, please speak to us afterwards. Please write on that welcome card, Adam, tell me more. Give me a call, come and meet up with me. Send someone to come and talk to me about it. If you've taken hold of that gospel, treasure it. Know where you are. I did want to say, cling to it. But I feel like when we cling to something, what do? We hide it. I don't want to hide it. Then I thought, we've got to exalt it and lift it up. But there's, you know, what good's a lifeboat with a sign going, hey, we've been rescued, if no one's actually working to rescue anybody else? That just displays it. No, we need to take hold of that gospel. We need to treasure it and together play our part in using it to rescue people from this present evil age. That's the very reason Christ died. Don't desert it. Don't add to it. Don't let people pervert it. There's always going to be people in the water. And sadly, a lot of them are going to be singing the praise of their upturned esky that they're leaning and floating on, while they slowly freeze. And there'll always be people in the lifeboat who'll be desperate to stay safe rather than to attempt to join the rescue. Some of them will even try to draw you away from the rescue. I don't know if you recognise the scene there, but the scene there in the boat is one of those times where Kathy Bates' character, Molly Brown, is having a go at everyone else because they're wanting to row away from the people that are still in the water needing rescuing. And she's going, what are we doing? These people need saving. And the people in the boat's going, oh no, there's not enough room. We might drown ourselves. Friends, they tried with Jesus to draw him away from the rescue. At the cross, they shouted at him, come down from the cross and save yourself. And the mockers yelled at him, saying, he saved others, but he can't save himself. Oh, he could save himself. But the only way he could save others was to die at the cross. The Father would save him. The Father would raise him from the dead. Just as he will raise his heirs to inherit the new creation. It's a promise for all those who put their trust in Christ's death at the cross. And so this opening ends with a clear appeal in verses 8 to 10. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we've already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. No perverting the gospel, no matter who you are. Whether it's the appointed apostle or an angel for heaven, there's no changing the gospel. That's why I could say at the end of the first point that we as believers have been appointed to free others. It doesn't depend on us being apostles or specially appointed. It is the gospel, it's the news, the good news of Jesus' rescue at the cross. That's what matters. That's what we're to be loyal to. Paul's saying, even if someone tells you, you know what, God told me, loyalty to the gospel, that is the measure of authority. The gospel here in the scriptures. If you are a believer, you are in the lifeboat. The area around us is drowning in the evil of this present age. And together we need to take that gospel message and do all we can together to rescue them. And we call people out and we rescue them by proclaiming the gospel. People will be calling us to drop the truth. People will call us to be more inclusive and more tolerant of the differences and the religious alternatives in the world. And while there's a sense that we ought to maintain peace and harmony with those around us, that we should show tolerance and respect, it can't come at the cost of compromising or adding to the gospel. It is an exclusive message. There is only one way to freedom. It will make us unpopular at times. The Apostle Paul gets it. Verse 10, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. If you want everyone to love you, don't follow Jesus. But God knew you needed rescuing from your sins in this evil age. And he set about doing it in his Son. True servants of Christ will join in the Master's plan. We won't necessarily win popularity contests. But we mustn't swerve from our loyalty to Christ, because that is how we love the world. That is how we love this area. That is how we love one another. We hear the gospel message today because courageous men and women didn't shelter in their lifeboats. They suffered greatly for their uncompromising promotion, uncompromising rescue attempts, proclaiming the gospel that saves. The one rescue, the one rescuer, Jesus Christ. The great reformer from the 1500s, Martin Luther, boldly declared, "Here I stand, I can do no other. God help me." I'm with Luther. I feel like I need more of the God help me than Luther did. He was very bold and very courageous and very active in trying to rescue people. I know I often hide and enjoy life in the lifeboat, rather than working desperately with those in the lifeboat to see the drowning in this present evil age freed by the one and only way to freedom, the Lord Jesus, who gave himself for our sins. But I know this is where I sit. I know I can do no other. May God help me, may God help us to work together to rescue the lost and sit confidently knowing that by God's plan, there is one way to freedom, through Christ at the cross. We might be in the lifeboat and surrounded by the present evil age, but he's taking us home to terra firma. What great news. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved us so much to send your Son into the world, into this present evil age, to die at the cross, to bear our sins, to set us free. We thank you that you bring grace and peace through your Son. Father, help us. Enable us to put our trust in you. Enable us to live as people who've been freed from the waters that surround and swirl and drown us. Help us to be bound together with the hope of the freedom in Christ. Help us to work together to rescue those around us. Help us never to compromise on the truth of the gospel. Help us not to add to it. Help us not to be sucked in by little additions and little twists and little perversions of the gospel. Help us to keep coming back to your word, being shaped by it, being grown by it, and being driven by it. Father, you've won a great rescue. We thank you that we're out of those waters, that we're in the lifeboat with Christ. And we thank you that we know you'll finish that work and deliver us home to be with you forever in the new creation. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.